Okay, great. One of the things what we thought we would spend this half hour doing is kind of doing a wrap up on the job training conference in Washington, D.C.
Jerry Sparks, Texarkana.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, Jerry, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
One of the things we want to do is gather.
Call from 228-6699.
Whoops. Okay, somebody just. What we want to do is gather some of the websites and apps and things that were mentioned at the conference and then share them with everyone. And we were just talking about the first day of this workshop was a little awareness course that the CCHST put on, giving everyone an overview of training requirements associated with brownfield health and safety training and helpful hints and a little bit about respiratory protection, heat stress, and about learning technologies and best practice. And one of the things Millie mentioned was a great app that she saw there. And what was, could you explain a little bit about that, Millie?
I can. It's Department of Labor. You go in the Department of Labor website and under OSHA, and there's an OSHA heat safety tool, and they talked about it Monday at the 2 o'clock session. And you go in and you, once you upload the app, it's a free app, then you can click on one of the buttons and it'll tell you currently what the temperature is, what the humidity is, and calculate it. It'll calculate it automatically and give you the heat index and the risk level for heat, stroke, or, you know, illness from heat stress, and then tell you what precautions you need to take. So I just thought that was kind of a really neat app that these folks need to be aware of.
Now, is that something that goes on a PC, or does it go on an iPhone type thing?
I've got it on my Android, and I think there was an iPhone app also.
So you could actually, you go to your app tools or whatever and go to OSHA, did you say?
Department of Labor.
Department.
I can't remember if it's Department of Labor or OSHA. I went online on my computer and found it there.
Okay, I'll look it up and we'll put it in the notes for everyone. That's a great little app.
It is.
Particularly when you're working outside. And, of course, one of the main things was covered was that. What were the other things that they covered in they hit the biggest, the relevant points in terms of the OSHA regs, correct?
Respiratory protection. He did a big session on that, mm-hmm. and examples of different respirators and things like that. Was I the only one in there?
You might have been. I was in and out. That was a great session, and I expect next
it was
year
awesome.
To be, quite a few people.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Snyder from the CCHST does a great job, and Doug, and they've got a lot of experience in that room.
Was it Ron, trying to remember which one, I think it was Ron, got a, one of them did a, those that wanted it, you could bring him a thumb drive, and he gave you his PowerPoint on training and some great information and some great graphics and stuff there that he shared with everybody.
Yeah, Ron Snyder, if you ever have any questions, and I'll have to put his contact information in the notes, Ron is very much interested in sharing information, anything you need to know regarding health and safety training. He's very eager to share that with people. And he prides himself in getting back to you within 24 hours in terms of any questions you might have. And, of course, Bruce Lippi was with OSHA for many years. And, he wasn't as familiar with brownfields, but there were plenty of people that knew brownfields. Bruce was extremely well-versed on OSHA regs and the laws, and particularly in health and safety-related things. So, but the person that you want to go to if you do have health and safety questions, whether or not you're doing a brownfields or applying for a grant or just have general questions, I think Ron would be happy to answer your health and safety questions. And we'll put his contact information in the notes. Ron Snyder.
Did someone just join?
Yes, Marilyn Ondrasik from the Green Team in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Great.
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm a bit late.
That's fine. We we'll be putting out some notes, and the other things that we tried to do at this workshop was, of course, primarily networking, just getting everyone together with their regional reps. And those of you who are thinking of writing a grant, we got some pretty good news. I think one of the highlights of the conference was the fact that the water people are going to be coming into the environmental job training arena. Someone just joined? Hey, whoever just joined may want to mute their phone. Okay, you may want to mute your phone because we're getting a lot of background. Okay. Hopefully you can mute your phone. There we go. That's better. Whoever just joined, could you mute your phone? Good. Okay. One of the good things about the workshop is that we found that water people are going to be joining it, and they've expanded this from what started as a brownfield job training program, that you needed to have a brownfield in your community and do brownfield-related work. Now it's bringing in other media. They're bringing in urban agriculture. They're going to be bringing in water and wastewater, which will be very a big arena that media that's coming in. And one of the things they said, of course, they've been very fortunate, and the program doubled in size this last go around. The grants that were awarded this spring. Probably because of the cutbacks, it won't be as large as next time. Every year they usually get about $3 million, and they give out about 10 to 12 grants for about $3 million. This last round it went up to $6 million, and they were able to give out quite a few grants with the $6 million. It sounded as if it might go back a little bit towards the $3 million again, but water is going to put some money into the pot, so I think that what will happen is if there are cutbacks, water will make up for it. So I think we can probably look forward to at least $3 million again back to the 10 grantees, and maybe more if depending on how water decides to support the what's now called the Environmental Job Training Program. It's really developing as the only job training program in the agency for developing jobs. There is one other, and they talked a little bit about it, it's a Superfund job training program that's been around for a long time, but that program is quite different. It's basically run through employers, and it's done at Superfund sites. So, for example, if you're in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, they might go to contractors who will train local people to get jobs at Oak Ridge, and or at Sherwin-Williams in Chicago. They might have job openings there, and they would actually put the training on for 20 or 30 people to do a certain type of job. And these are usually performed through contracts and contractors. Everyone should be aware of it, but this is the Environmental Job Training and Development Program is the only EPA grant program that's out there, and is likely to be the only one that will be out there. And it sounds to me, and what we've seen over the years, is it's growing. And when they brought water programs into this program, it was first time they went outside of this division of EPA. DPA has several major divisions. This is traditionally operated out of OSWER, Office of Solid Waste Emergency Response. There are other large programs like air programs is a very large program. Water programs is a very large program. And these are all big, big programs within the agency. And this training program has up until now pretty much been restricted or stayed in the house of the Office of Solid Waste Emergency Response. I think it's called now the Office of Land Revitalization. The money has been appropriated through Congress, and it's been stuck kind of in this one area. Well, this is now an opportunity to actually jump into, have other of these very large groups in EPA give it money and expand it. So it's a pretty big deal. It's going to go from just a land revitalization to really an agency-wide program. And if water joins, there's a good chance that air will probably be soon behind it, and the air program will probably throw in money. So I guess to make a long story short, this program seems very viable. It doesn't look like it's going to be snuffed out by any means, and it will at least hold its funding at around $3 million, and maybe it could be a little bit more. So that was the first good news in the conference. I think the second good news is the new round of RFPs will be out in November. We traditionally find that there's usually a delay. If they say October, it's November. If they say November, it creeps into December. Because it has to go through a lot of review processes. Usually after they issue the RFP, they give you about 60 to 90 days to respond to the RFP. And that means that the downside of this is if they issue it in November, which it comes out in early December, it falls over the Christmas holiday. So it's usually, it'll probably be due in February. So if we're looking this year at the timeline of the new grant proposals going out in November, maybe creeping into December, and then probably being due in the February timeframe. So what that's telling everyone that has not applied for a grant, or if you've got a grant and you're re-upping for that grant, is now is the time to start preparing and starting to do some groundwork for you're submitting into the new grant. So that was all pretty good news, and I would say it was very positive. Even in this era of cutbacks, they did talk about a lot of cutbacks occurring within the agency. One thing I did notice also is even in the agreement that was made by President Obama and the Republican Congress House, EPA was not really cut in the original agreement for brownfields. They pretty much held, maintained a 2000 level of about $100 million for site assessment and cleanup and about $50 million for assistance to states. Some of the other agencies in the federal government that contribute money to brownfields redevelopment were cut. HUD, for example, the Community Development Block Grants, which often gives a lot of money for brownfields revitalization, was cut, and so does Clean Water Revolving Funds and HUD Sustainable Communities. And if you're familiar with HUD Betty grants, they were cut to zero, actually, and some of the EDA grants were cut. So there will be some cuts in the actual cleanup, not so much in the EPA part of it, but some of the other agencies, HUD, in particular, and Office of Economic Development, some of those funds are going to get cut in terms of cleaning up brownfields. So that might affect some of the brownfield projects themselves. One thing about job development is when you look at job development training grants, they only represent about 10% of the number of brownfield cleanup grants. So there's what I guess we're saying is there's a whole lot of work going on and not a whole lot of job training going on. So even though some of these projects may be cut, I think there's still a big future for growth in job training. And I think that's one of the take-backs from this workshop. What were some of the high points that some of you all might have gotten out of the workshop in the last couple of days? Besides trying to survive a hurricane and an earthquake, at least. Did anyone in any of the sessions, was it networking, would you say, or did you find any of the sessions particularly enlightening, that you some things that you didn't know before?
This is Millie, and like you said, Mike, Joe and Myra were both very informative and specific in giving helpful hints and such. For example, reiterating over and over that don't write, if you're interested in writing a proposal, don't write for just training. You've got to write and show that you're going to be able to place your trainees. And that was something I had made notes of, that was reiterated several times. You know, you got to put these folks to work. You can train them, but you got to make sure that you've got the partnerships out there to put them to work. One of the things that I really enjoyed, I appreciated a lot, was being able to meet the program officer or my region's, you know, program person. And Kathleen is a character. I like her. And but then the small break.
Did you contact her before? Had you met her before you were at this workshop?
By phone and email only. I had not met her face-to-face, so it was a nice to meet with her, but she was just as enjoyable over the phone and through email.
Mm-hmm.
But and then helpful hints that she gave me, because we were not awarded a proposal, a grant this time around, and we'll resubmit, making a few adjustments. But so getting some feedback there, folks that were awarded that had really, really good proposals would give you feedback. Mainly, I was only able to really talk to folks from my region, because, you know, that was where y'all had a seating, was by region.
Right.
But the breakout sessions were real informative, being able to pick which one you wanted to go to, which might benefit, you know, someone the most, were very, very beneficial for me.
You have a very good point there in terms of talking to your regional rep. I think that's going to help you a lot in the rewrite of your grant.
Mm-hmm.
You brought up a couple of very interesting points that came out in this meeting. They are, and the reviewers of the next proposal are going to be extremely interested in a commitment to place people. They are there. It almost seemed, and I got the same thing out of this workshop, they are very committed, and there's a lot of pressure being put on placements. They also told those grantees who were new, who received awards, that they promised placements and they're going to be expected to deliver those placements. It was almost when you talk to the EPA people, it was all about placements. It seemed they were very, very concerned on placements. Other years, it's been issues like leveraging or partnering. They didn't talk as much about partnering this time as placements. And
right.
You see where the pressure is. The hint that they gave us is in this next round, it's going to be all about finding people who will be good candidates to hire your people, forming alliances with them, and seeing if you can get them to interview your people, and somehow documenting those, and in your proposal, putting those documented, even to the point of naming names of people who may commit to hiring your people. And it almost seemed like those that got the awards, and I wasn't in any of the review committees, we don't do that with the HMTRI, but it almost seemed like the reviewers were looking, or if someone asked them to look at what kind of job commitments were in these proposals. And it looked to me like the ones who got the grants were ones who actually almost promised jobs. It was pretty blatant. And so though the more general you were, it seemed like the less chances you had in terms of that. And that's going to be extremely important. Another thing, and I think what we're going to do in these post-session notes, we're going to put an updated participant list in there for you. There was a very interesting thing that happened in this round. George Pendoff from New Jersey Youth Corps was very proud. He's an old-time grantee. Now, he is not funded this year. They didn't even apply for grant. He gets funds from other sources, and he's been a grantee for the last 10, 12 years. They started with us, and every couple of cycles they'll apply and get a grant. But they don't necessarily need the EPA funds, but he comes in every time. And they helped another group in New Jersey write their grant. And this time they actually came to him for help and said, "We're writing a grant." And he said, "We were happy to help them," and they got it. And one of the things that, and he was very proud of that, and what it was telling me is that those of you who are going to be applying in the next round may be in your best interest if there's someone in this participant list that you might feel comfortable contacting. You might write them an email and suggest that you're working on this grant and you might want to develop a relationship with them. In New Jersey's case, they were both from New Jersey and he was happy. And you don't want to be in a competitive area. In fact, you've got to make sure you're not, or EPA won't award you a grant. But if you're in a nearby area or in the same state or a nearby state or same region, you might find extremely helpful working on an informal basis with a current grantee, someone who's been to some of these conferences. So we're going to put the participant list in to share with everyone. That participant list also, and GLOW does a great job of listing by region all of the participants and then also the EPA people. And you can find the people in your region who you need to contact. Now, did you, Molly, did you develop a relationship with Kathleen before you submitted, or was that after you submitted that you started talking to her?
We actually started talking to her just a few days before, so there was not a relationship developed too far into it, and then continued on through the submission process, and then, again, we weren't awarded. We're still waiting for our comments or our debrief. They've not sent those out yet. In fact, Joe and Kathleen both were a little confused why they haven't gone out yet. And so that's really the thing we're waiting on is the comments to see what the reviewers did say that were our weak points and, you know, what were our strengths.
Right. I think that two things that will be coming out in the coming weeks is those comments that those of you who have submitted and may not have gotten a grant will get to see those. And also, we're going to take some of the notes from the post-session and we'll also share them with the PLC group, and they might have some websites on them and helpful hints similar to this heat stress app that Molly gave us. But definitely what I would suggest is getting to know the regional reps right away. Now, this session is the second to the last session of this group. We do cycles. This is actually the fourth cycle of these that we've done, these 30-minute conference calls. We're going to have one more that will be kind of a wrap-up in 2 weeks. That's going to be in September 14th. We'll have our 10th PLC of this cycle. And then we're going to start, we'll probably wait for a little bit, and then we're going to start a fifth cycle. And the fifth cycle will focus again on writing this new grant. And hopefully we're going to have grantees who have been successful in writing grants and those who have been successful after a second or third try and people who have had issues with it. And we're going to walk through the entire grant process from the very first thing, the needs assessment and starting partnerships, all the way through submission. And we'll be doing that over period of 20 weeks, every 2 weeks through that grant period. What happens is the way EPA procedures are that you can talk to your regional rep all the way up until the RFP is issued. So in November, once that RFP is issued, the EPA representatives can't really talk to you personally about your grant. They can just give you general information and general questions. We can talk to people because we're not associated with that process at all. We can talk as a third party to individuals, and we could help them in terms of structuring the grants. And we're also a public forum that anyone can join. So anything we say, we share with everyone. So what we're going to be doing in the fifth cycle will be walking through those grants. And for those of you who have grants, we're going to be looking at how to make that grant better and trying to share ideas. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing over the next month. But on the 14th, we'll kind of do a wrap-up of this cycle.
This is Millie. I just sent you an email that Kathleen had sent yesterday, I believe, and it is for Region 4. They're going to have a job training grant writing workshop.
Right. each region will have their own, and they'll go through all of the procedures, and the difference between theirs and ours. Ours are off the record and non-governmental, so we could say whatever we want. Theirs tend to be pretty much. So we actually do that, and we work in conjunction with them, and we usually attend all of theirs to see what they say. And actually, Kathleen does an excellent one. I'll share that with the group, because I would say of all the regions, hers is one of the best in terms of grant writing workshops and how to do it. So you definitely want to partake of that. Glo, did you have any comments you wanted to make about the Alexandria workshop?
Well, I've sent out to the participants the PowerPoint that Mark Vogelsang used from SRA for the ACRES presentation.
Okay.
I've sent that out to all the attendees. I've also sent out an updated participant list. And we are right now working on pulling together all those session notes into one document, and those will be going out soon. The grantee listserv has been updated and now includes all the participants of the workshop last week and posted instructions there of how to use it. So I just want to encourage everyone to use it. It's not just for me to make announcements. It's for everyone else to use, too. If you're looking to ask a question of a large group of people, there's over 200 people in that listserv now. I did just, since we've been talking and when Millie mentioned the PowerPoints for the OSHA presentations, I didn't even think to ask Ron and Bruce for theirs, but I just did that. And so I anticipate they'll be sending me their PowerPoints soon, and I will distribute those also.
Good. And if it's all right with you, I'll share that with the PLC group, our mail.
Yeah, that's
PLC
great.
Group.
Yeah, perfect.
And what I'm going to do on the notes for today's little conference call is I will put the participant list and explain what that is, and encourage everyone to contact one of the grantees near them, and also encourage everyone to just touch base with their regional rep to just let them know that you talked with them or you didn't talk with them and you're planning on submitting a new grant, or you just want to touch base with them. They love to talk with you, and those of you who were at the workshop know how outgoing they all are. They're willing to help you as much as they can until that RFP comes out. So we'll be doing that. And then when we have all of the compiled talking points from our breakout sessions, we'll share that with the PLC. Those tend to be a little cryptic, but what's nice about post-session notes, these are notes that are made in each of the breakout sessions. Sometimes they have websites and apps and places that you can go to for information that might be helpful. So we'll send those out when those are available to everyone, too. Well, very good. Anyone have any questions today? This session was pretty much just a wrap-up and a summation of the Alexandria Grantee Conference, and we'll send out post-session notes more about that conference. As I said, on the next PLC will be on the 14th of September, and that will be a wrap-up of this cycle of conference calls, and then an introduction into the next one, which will focus on doing those of us who have grants, doing them better, and then those of us who are applying or thinking of applying or starting a job training program, how we may go about this and what we need to do now. And what I'll be saying this week and next week is now is really the time to start thinking about and working on the items for this job training application. So, well, very good. Well, if nothing else, it's time to say goodbye until the 14th. So anyone have anything they want to add? Anything? Okay. Well, we'll see you all on the 14th of September then.
Thank you very much.
Calling
Thank
in.
You.
Okay.
Bye.